Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Receive Harrison Butker begins his seventh year for the Chiefs. He'll kick it off back deep for Detroit. Khalil Dorsey making his kickoff return debut. Deep in the distance, it's Las Vegas. Everyone's sight set. Welcome to the 104th season of the National Football League. All the way back, it's a touchback. The Lions take over at the 25. Here's their offense.
So if you're watching any football last night, you're probably thinking to yourself what I'm thinking to myself, which is, you know, I grew up in Detroit. We have long since learned the 11th commandment of football is thou shalt not get thy hopes up.
I would say so.
You know, how many Heisman Trophy winners does it take to die in the wasteland that is Detroit football? Well, you know, the number is a lot, okay? But, you know, you pick up Jared Goff, and, you know, he's a superstar. You never know what might happen. And so, first score of the game. Lions on the
36,
nine.
36, Goff. Across St. Brown to the end zone. Detroit touchdown. Amon-Ra St. Brown score one. Season.
I'm not excited. 7-0. I'm not excited. After a couple of defensive stops on each side, of course, the Chiefs, you know, basically come right back.
From the one, left hand catch by Mahomes on the snap. Scanning, open for the touchdown. It's Rice. Welcome to Kansas City, Rashee Rice.
7-7, and then it's, I think it was 14-7, and you're starting to be like, nah, here we go. We got our first one, and welcome to another season. But eventually, it gets down to being 20-14. Fourth quarter, 7 minutes to go. Lions with the ball.
From the one, left-hand catch by Mahomes on the snap. Scanning, open for the touchdown. It's Rice. Welcome to Kansas City.
Sorry, that was the one I just played. My fault. Here's the fourth quarter, 7 minutes to go with Lions on the ball, down by six.
Nine of the drop. Montgomery with some momentum to the end zone for the touchdown. David Montgomery behind the strength of the Lions. The offensive line, an extra point away from the lead for Detroit here in the fourth.
Which they get, and they take, and they keep, and they win. Lions win. Don't get excited. 11th commandment of football for Detroit people. I'm not a Lions fan per se. I think I've never been stupid enough to say it out loud. But you know, there is something in me as a Detroit kid that was always like, maybe, you know, Lions and Tigers and Pistons and Red Wings growing up.
Did you have
up
to walk
and,
by cars on fire on the way to school?
Well, there's that, you know, and, you know.
Devil's night.
So, you know, the closest moment to sports glory that Detroit has had in a long time, well, I mean, the Red Wings have been okay, but not much of a hockey fan. But, you know, the closest moment to glory was when the Tigers lost to the Cardinals in the World Series, which was a very conflicted time for me. I mean, I was rooting for the Cardinals, but still. So, I don't know, just kind of exciting. And, you know, NFL football is here, and of course NCAA football this weekend, and I don't think that the Spectrum conflict with Disney has been resolved, so I don't know where y'all stand for, like, for example, the ESPN carrying the Alabama-Texas game for tomorrow, so good luck. Although, weird note about that, so you know how if you're on Spectrum, you don't have ESPN or haven't had. And by the way, if this has changed, like if you get up and you turned it on, it's like it's working today, let me know. But the last I heard, you know, a lot of folks still in Santa Rosa County don't have access to ESPN. and maybe some in this game. I'm never quite sure where the boundaries are for all this stuff. But, you know, looking at going to, you know, seeing the game tomorrow, particularly that game with Alabama, you know, pretty frustrating. People were missing out on the Florida game, first game of the season, I think, if I remember correctly. And the one thing that changed just ever so slightly is at the U.S. Open, the tennis players were angry because they couldn't watch their competitors on TV because the hotels were getting the carrier that was at odds with ESPN. So they actually let some of them have it. Like they, I don't know how they did that exactly, but apparently they did. So this is just a problem. It does happen periodically. I don't remember this really happening much. Yes. Until the last couple of years. It just seems like, you know, every once in a while you have to wake up and roll the dice of whether, like, ABC is off your satellite
or
CBS is off your satellite or ESPN.
I can't go without WEAR. And if I'm
going
to pay for it, I need our local station. Just get your heads out of your butt and just stop being so greedy.
Exactly. And, you know, I understand it's a question of, you know, well, who's being the greedier? Well, you know,
who
y'all
cares?
Have an op. I'm paying for a service. Give me the service.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not my fault that y'all can't figure your stuff out.
I think those wires are already paid for. So,
that's exactly right.
Kick a rock.
437-1620. Oh, I guess I might mention this again later only because it's the kind of story that, so, you know, we talk about like dysfunctional Milton, right? Dysfunctional Milton City Council. And we talk about school board issues and we talk about some of our county commission and some of their issues. Not to be outdone by Milton, Florida, let me take you to Ohio's Tip City School Board meeting. So, I don't have a lot of background for you here other than that the chair slash president, I think they call him, of the particular board doesn't get along particularly well with one of the board members. So, you're going to hear the male voice is going to be Tip City School Board President Simon Patry. And then you're going to hear a female voice, which is going to be board member Ann Zakour, Z-A-K-K-O-U-R. And I'm gonna let you hear it, and then I'm gonna tell you what you saw, and we're just gonna leave it maybe a little bit at that. Okay, so here's what they said
to the committee, to the board.
And by the way, I don't know why there's skips in the audio. There just are. I can't fix it. If I fix it, it sounds worse than if I leave them in. So there you go.
To the committee, to the board. There's been regular reports from the facility committee, reports to the board. There have been. I'm talking. Do not interrupt me. Do not make any noises, or else I will not tolerate it.
Oh.
Stop talking.
Did you hear the end?
Sounds like a fight at my house.
She said, "Listen, these are words I'm not gonna say on the air because it's just the kind of thing you just don't want to say yourself." But right, you know, so he tells her to stop. She kind of starts to talk just a little bit, and this is obviously they're both on full blown, you know, tilt already because otherwise you don't react that quickly to this. She starts to talk, and he says, "I will not tolerate you interrupting me." To which she says, Yeah, that's the thing people said to the bad guy in Germany. And what do you think the visual was? Oh, full-blown arm out, pointed at him.
Oh, she did a sing.
She did a full-blown Nazi salute at him. Yes, Mr. Dictator, I will obey your orders. Following which, at the end of the meeting, he resigned. Oh. I'm out. Not doing it.
Did he say who's coming with me?
Yeah, who's coming with me? I'm taking this fish. You know, you can't stop me. Come on, Renee Zellweger, please. So, yeah, just, I mean, I give you this only because when we talk about the dysfunction in Milton, and oh, by the way, the meeting this week was, I mean, a lot of the meeting was pretty boring, but there were moments where you're like, you can't even manage how to get an agenda moved. Like, it was bad right from the start. But, you know, I'll play those audio clips for you probably on Monday. Just, you know, putting in perspective the grand range of school board and or city council dysfunction, at least in Milton, we don't have anybody throwing Nazi salutes at each other as a form of commentary. Not yet.
No, you have Moms of Liberty, though.
Well, there's stuff. 437-1620. Lee is a Category 5 hurricane already, like last night. It was a Category 5 hurricane. This morning, we've got, let's see, where's my, flipping between all of the different tabs I got open for this, 165 miles an hour, Category 5 hurricane, expected to slow down just a little bit as it runs into Shear. What's that?
I was going to say, it looks like there's a wall just north of Haiti, and it has it pushing all up the Atlantic. So.
And still the expectation is it's basically going to be, it's right now it's going straight at Jacksonville. But it's going to turn. Turn signal is on.
Yeah, and it's really going to do it.
Which makes it absolutely not a hurricane from Florida.
It's not like a snowbird's turn signal.
Yeah, it can't be a hurricane for Florida because it's got a turn signal on. Anyway, so it's going to... It's going to... You know I'm right. And so it's going to turn right and go north. Although Alan Strom was very good last night. He's like, it is 2,000 miles away from us. It is a monster Category 5 at the moment. And all the models, like, show it going north. But just, you know... Pay attention just in case, because there's always a just in case. And it's like everything else, you know, 19 out of 20 models say bend right and go to Greenland. One model says, what's that big lake in the middle of that peninsula? You know, like that's so, yes, I still don't expect, I'm not a forecaster. I'm truly the guy who, like, has had to learn hurricanes, you know, in the last 9 years living here. And for me, I don't know anything about the particulars or the forecast in the sense of like reading the pressures and all that. All I know is over the years I've learned, okay, you look at these models and if the models show this, here's what's going to happen. If the models show that, here's what's going to happen. If the models show that, you're not sure what's going to happen. This is one of those, the models are showing this and that's going to happen. Okay. And I don't have any power over it. I can't make it behave. I'm just telling you that there is very, very strong consistency in all the models that say it's not going to affect us. It might affect the East Coast. The degree of effect is to be determined, but it's not. It doesn't look like it's going to be any kind of a land strike whatsoever. But as we always say, hurricanes don't do what we predict them to do. They do what they do. And just be aware because it's hurricane season. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Work, kids, finances, your life has lots of moving parts. Let Gulf Winds help you keep them all moving forward. Our free digital banking tools make it easy for busy bill payers to manage the day-to-day. Our simple applications and low loan rates get mommy chauffeurs on the road fast. And our free accounts and low fees put extra cash in pockets so weekend warriors can have a splash more fun. We're here for you and everyone living life to the fullest. How can we move you forward? See all the ways at GoGulfWinds.com. Federally insured by NCUA.
More news, more talk with Mark Lee Van Kevin Robbins on at 11, right after the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, this has been sufficiently awkward.
Good morning, 5:23 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Argos are playing, of course, tomorrow. It's away. Got a couple of away games week after week. And Danny Masterson, 30 years in prison.
Wow, they must have had a lot of that
just
evidence. I mean, or whatever. I guess.
So if you haven't been following the story, and I will say I haven't really been following it all that closely. I pay attention to the celebrity news sort of once a week when Kate comes on. You know, that's just, I have too much stuff to watch.
It's
right?
All I read.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So this was from back in the early, like 20 years ago at the height of 70 Show popularity. And that's Hyde from The 70s Show, if you don't know the actor name. And if you don't know that, I can't help. I mean, you know, beyond that. The stoner, the curly-haired guy.
Yeah, so, you're going to have to be more specific. Yeah. No, that's true, though. Stoner, he was always wearing sunglasses. Right. And, yeah, Danny Masterson and Hyde, right.
So he allegedly, well, I guess now did, he had women at his house and drugged them and raped them really violently. And because he was in Scientology, born into it, and they also were, the church allegedly helped cover it all up for a long time, deny it, and work against it. And, you know, I think we've all heard a variety of horror stories about the bad behavior of the Scientologists. But this is what they decided after, you know, all these years to, you know, 30 years for two convictions out of three. There was a third one involved that was not a conviction on that one. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. It's, you know, when you hear that, you're like, wow, that's a long time. Then again, if he did what he did, which they say he did, then it was a conviction, two convictions. So 525 News Radio 92.3. Let's see. Steve Taylor is in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, a special grand jury report related to former President Trump's Georgia election interference case is due to be released soon. It's expected to shed more light on the investigation into alleged efforts by Trump and 18 others to overturn the state's 2020 election results. A judge plans to release the report at 9 a.m. this morning. That's our time. There's another sign of life returning to normal in the Big Bend. Schools reopened yesterday in Taylor County for the first time since the hurricane. Attendance is not required, though, as families may need more time to recover from the storm. Go ahead.
I think we're down to like 1,000 people without power?
It's a very small group out of those who lost power when the hurricane came ashore about a week ago. Looks like the Coast Guard says a man was arrested just off the coast of Georgia when he tried to make a journey across the Atlantic. The 51-year-old man was attempting to make the trip using a homemade contraption known as the human hamster wheel.
Have you seen
Picture
this thing?
That.
I mean, it's pretty mosquito. I wouldn't want to be in it.
It's exactly what you would think. It's a giant cylinder mm-hmm. with the external is sort of this mix of metal fins and inflatable sections.
Yes.
And this guy who's like a super marathoner who's run around the United States. This is what, his third or fourth time he's been stopped by the Coast Guard?
It was his third time. He was trying to travel from Florida to Great Britain. It took the Coast Guard 3 days to bring him in, though. The man threatened his own life. He claimed he had a bomb, which turned out to be bogus. And he's basically, tried this many times before. I don't understand the hamster wheel concept. I mean, it's like, wow, how do you come up with something like that?
Well, he's a runner, and if he can run around the United States, maybe he can run to England. It's weird, but
what
it's
do you
also
do with
like
your bathroom stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
it's the ocean. You stop running and you
dump
you, it. You do it fish style.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, that's the least of his concerns.
All my questions are answered.
There's
Go
two
ahead.
Hurricanes out there, bro.
Yeah.
You know, like that'd be my thought. Yeah. I think it's like so. Yeah, the Coast Guard comes up to him and says, "Hey, man, stop." He's like, "Don't you dare! I'll stab myself to death."
Yeah.
Okay, we'll come back tomorrow. They come back tomorrow. Hey, stop! Don't you dare! I'll blow myself up. I've got wires. Okay, we'll come back tomorrow. I mean, like that's how this went. It took him days to solve this. So and then to get him, it's all weird. Plus, you kind of wonder, like, at a certain point, don't you just let Florida man be Florida man? The crime was not obeying the Coast Guard, right? The crime was not something else. Like, it's not really illegal to go on a self-designed hamster wheel floaty fin thing to England on the ocean. So, I'm kind of a... Hey, you know, look, our good friend, kayaked across the Atlantic the other direction. Why that, not this? I mean, I don't know.
A kayak is a little more traditional, like a boat.
I know, but look, if people are going to do their thing, and he says, I'm going to keep trying until something, I'm just going to keep trying. You can't stop me. So, all right, Steve, thanks so much for the update.
It was fun to know him when.
Yeah, right. 437-1620, 437-1620. Have you been paying attention to this one chip thing, this one chip challenge thing where they, this company that puts out this chip, one super hot, ghost pepper and some other pepper kind of chip.
I saw this yesterday. I was in Circle K and they have paperwork on by the chips.
Oh, so you can sign it when you buy it?
Oh, that must be what it is. They
wave off your, I understand that what I'm doing might kill me.
It's bizarre.
And it's killed a kid.
Oh,
yeah.
They have paperwork just with the warnings and stuff.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, but I think you have to ask and show ID or something, maybe.
Well, so now they've pulled
somebody?
Killed a boy, a teenager. So now they've pulled the product completely away, which, I eat hot stuff. My son, my one son loves hot stuff too. you know, I would just, you know, like I'd be willing. There's nothing that I wouldn't just try a little bit of. But these people who just, I'm going to eat a full pepper. You're insane. You know, like, and this is the same kind of thing. Like, why would you? Well, because you put it in a bag and you put a label on it. You dared me. And I'm sure the company is thinking, in a court of law, somebody might make the argument that if it's packaged for sale as a food item, they have a reasonable expectation that it might not, you know, kill them. So if we don't pull this, we're liable. Anyway, it's been pulled. Don't do life-threatening things on dares, whether it's on TikTok or from a bag at the convenience store. I mean, it just seems like common sense, but, you know, apparently it's not for everybody. 437-1620. Let's see. Stepping Out in Style Fashion Show. 47th Annual Stepping Out in Style Fashion Show by the Women's Board of Baptist Healthcare Foundation. October 26th at the Resource Center with many names. Sanders Beach Corinne Jones Resource Center. Great place, weird names. Fashions by Boutique Dillard's Market, mainly shoes, South Outfitters. You can find out more information and their sponsorships at newsradio923.com. Steve Taylor, have your local news coming up next after Fox.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Air Force One carrying President Biden to the G20 summit in India will touch down shortly in New Delhi. Russia's war in Ukraine will be on the agenda. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen.
I feel confident that we'll be able to make sure that we have funding. We continue to stand behind Ukraine for as long as is necessary.
The secretary is speaking earlier at the G20. Hurricane Lee strengthens into an extremely dangerous Category 5 hurricane in the Atlantic. Winds 165 miles per hour right now. No coastal watches or warnings in effect. That from the National Hurricane Center. The most powerful Atlantic hurricane ever was Allen in 1980. 190 mile per hour winds. Day 9 of the manhunt for convicted killer Danilo Cavalcante in Chester County, Pennsylvania. Botanical garden in the area is temporarily shut down after a possible sighting of the escaped inmate. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning and happy Friday. It's 5:31, 75 degrees, mostly clear in Pensacola. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. As we just heard, Hurricane Lee is now a Category 5 storm. The National Hurricane Center says rip currents and hazardous surf will spread across the northern Caribbean today and begin affecting the U.S. mainland by Sunday. Lee is packing maximum sustained winds about 165 miles an hour. It'll pass north of the Leeward Islands. Its future beyond that is uncertain regarding potential impacts later next week, maybe Bermuda, Atlantic Canada, and possibly parts of the northeast seaboard. Hurricane Lee is centered about 630 miles east of the northern Leeward Islands and is moving west-northwest. The maximum winds are 165 miles an hour as of early this morning. It's expected to continue intensifying today, could attain 180 mile an hour winds or more in the next 12 hours. A northward turn is expected next week, but where this new trajectory takes Lee is considerably less certain. Escambia County Commissioners voted in favor of placing a new ordinance on county waterways. During last night's commission meeting, commissioners voted to put an ordinance in place for floating structures. The ordinance would keep these structures from anchoring or mooring in the water. It would not impact regulated houseboats or actual vessels. COVID cases are on the rise around the country and here in Florida, but Governor Ron DeSantis is reassuring residents that mandates and closures won't be a thing this go-round.
You as a parent can send your kid to school and the school can't force them to wear a muzzle all day. They're allowed to breathe.
DeSantis was critical of states, cities, and school districts that have temporarily closed schools and mandating masks. He says thanks to this year's legislative session, mask and vaccination mandates in schools and businesses are against the state law. Well, another truck crashed into Graffiti Bridge in Pensacola yesterday morning. Happened about 10 a.m. at the bridge, which is, of course, located on North 17th Avenue. The box truck had its roof torn open during the crash, and it was eventually towed from the scene. This is the first crash at the bridge that Channel 3 News reported on since March 27th, which, of course, was another one. Earlier this year, the city placed a no-truck sign along 17th Avenue near the bridge, formally making the area a no-truck corridor. Let's check our weekend forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. Beautiful day today with mostly sunny skies. Temperatures will be warming up into the low 90s for highs. Overnight tonight, big drop in temperatures. We will be in the mid to upper 60s inland. Along the coast could still see some upper 60s. As you go into Saturday afternoon, we will be warming back up into the 90s. Small chance of rain each and every day, but mostly sunny for most of us. As you go into Saturday night, temperatures dropping into the low 70s. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 75 in Pensacola, 76 in Gulf Breeze, 73 degrees in Milton at 534. Next news is at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
What is News Radio 92.3? News and information for Pensacola. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, 5 till 9. The Pensacola Expert Panel or Pep Talk from 9 to 11. Markley, Van Camp and Robbins, 11 until 2. Guy Benson from 2 to 4. Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie from 4 to 7. Dave Ramsey from 7 to 10. WEAR-TV at 10. And Brian Kilmeade overnight at 11. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing? These are words you hear a lot about. But what exactly do they mean? How do you get started? Where do you get started? Well, you could start by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, Monday morning at 10:30. Join me, Tasca King. I'll show you how to navigate the changing and fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. Monday morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie from 4 till 7 right before Dave Ramsey on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:36 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday we had a chance to talk with a public information officer from the Pensacola Police Department, Mike Wood, who was out last week at a PIO conference in Nashville. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Candy.
Good morning.
And by the way, welcome back from Nashville. Did you have a productive time at the PIO's conference?
Yeah, I actually did. There was about 600 of us there from all over the country, and we went over some situations that went right, some that went wrong. So hopefully if something like that happens in Pensacola, we're far more prepared than we were when I went up there. One of them was I saw footage of the school shooting in Nashville that was never released to the public. That was awful difficult to sit through. But, you know, after that was over with, then, I've got in my head what we need to do to improve things should something like that happen here on the public information, on the communications part of it.
Very good. Well, always good to get more training. That's excellent to hear. A couple of incidents that have happened. By the way, just this morning, you and I were already talking about this about a half hour ago, but just this morning I had reports of a number of PPD cruisers high speed going up scenic. I guess you said towards Montaigne Drive. What turned out to be the case there?
Well, there was a disturbance, a possibly armed disturbance that the officers were responding to, and once they got there, the individual had left, so they were circulating the area looking for him, and at this point, they haven't found him, but that's what that was about. And, you know, it's funny, our officers are constantly asking me, how does the media find out about these things so incredibly fast? But, you know, years ago, that didn't happen, but with phones and social media and things like that, it just takes a matter of seconds before people are asking what's going on, either to the media or to me or just posting it on social media, and it starts to spread pretty fast. So that's one of the reasons why I always try to stay on top of these calls that were going on. And our supervisors are very good about notifying us so we can notify you about what's going on, because if we don't, then people are going to start making up things on social media, and some of the things can snowball out of control. So we try to stay in front of these stories as best we can.
And you do it better than anybody else, and, you know, the proactivity is amazing, and you're exactly right. You know, we get a call, hey, I see five cops here, blank, what's going on? And I text you, and you always have something for me pretty quickly because, as you say, otherwise, you know, the rumors will start, okay? And a lot of times it's nothing. I mean, a lot of times it's not that big of a deal, and that's important too. One thing is there was a robbery at the Bayou Bank of America. I think it was late last week. Is that right?
Yeah, it was. There was an individual there refilling the ATM. He was approached by two males who said or pointed something into his back, and he believed it to be a handgun and robbed him. So we're still looking for those two individuals. Fortunately, nobody was injured. And if we urge anybody that has any information to give us a call or to call Crime Stoppers.
All right. One of the things we talked about with Mayor Reeves is because of the dredge spoil deposit area over on what I call Hobo Beach, that isolated, not quite island, but sort of an island over there east of the train trestle at 17th Avenue, that they're enforcing more of the no-go zone there. It's not really supposed to be a place where people go, but they're I guess you guys would be the ones enforcing it. Are you, or are you having any trouble? What can you tell me about what's going on there?
I wouldn't say it was trouble. I would say that, you know, once they're asked to leave, they do. They just keep going back over there. That's been kind of a hangout for transients for many years. So there's, like you said, there's construction or dredging going on over there, and it makes it more dangerous for people to be there, especially while heavy machinery is present. So we're making walkthroughs over there constantly and making sure nobody's over there in the way where they could get hurt.
Any other incidents or events that you want to tell us about that have happened in the last week?
Well, yesterday we had two juveniles arrested for a daytime home burglary in the 3000 block of Bellmead Court. Officers responded to that pretty quickly after we got the call, and were able to make an arrest after the juveniles initially fled on foot. So it's a good reminder that, you know, that these bad guys know people have to work in the daytime, and that's usually when they're going to be away from their home. So it's always good to make sure you lock those doors, those garage doors, and if you have an alarm on the house, that's even better. You know, those things are locked cheaper now than they've ever been to be able to put an alarm on your house. So, yeah, those daytime burglaries do happen. And fortunately, everything came out good yesterday.
You know, that's one of the things that you and I have talked about before, is the belief that the real risk for you is the 3 a.m. break-in, where suddenly you're going to have to be in a firefight defending your home and your dogs and your kids and all that kind of stuff. But burglars, though criminals are often dumb, they are also often not as dumb as you'd think, and they would rather go into a house where they know nobody's there, and that's when you're away at work, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's no cars in the driveway, and they pretty much feel like that you're at work. And they also know, you know, this is the South. If you go into a house in the middle of the night around here, you're liable to get shot. So they're going to err on the side of caution and hit that house in the daytime. So it's very important to lock those doors. It doesn't matter where you live. If you live in a quiet neighborhood or way out in a rural area, you need to secure that home.
You know, you bring up something about going into the house, and of course we know that the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, Sheriff Simmons, your former police chief, was talking about this case in the mobile home park where the brother was brought in to help protect the sister, basically, from the ex-boyfriend who had invaded the home and was pointing a gun at him, and you know, he drew his own gun and fired, and you know, it was bad for the other guy. And the sheriff basically said, if you aim a gun at somebody and, you know, cock it to shoot it, you're justified in shooting back. And some people have been calling this a stand your ground case. And I guess, I don't know, maybe it's just like the philosopher in me that cares about the terms, the, you know, terminology nerd in me. But stand your ground is outside the home. That's where you don't have to flee, because we've taken the castle doctrine, which is you can protect your home from an intruder, and applied it out in public. But then self-defense is, I mean, an entirely different thing. Self-defense is, if somebody is going to threaten your life or somebody else's life, you're justified in protecting yourself, even to lethal means if necessary, regardless of the location. And that's not even stand your ground. Do I have any of that wrong?
You have that exactly right. Stand your ground is a term that's used loosely a lot. Most of that is outdoors, like you said, not all of it, but that basically means you do not have to retreat. You do not have to run. You have the right to protect yourself or others. When you're in the home, obviously that's your home. You don't have to retreat, and you also have the right to protect your home and those in it. So, yeah, it's used kind of loosely a lot, but in certain cases, that's absolutely not what it's not what it is. I mean, like I said, most of the time that's going to be in an outdoor type situation.
Well, I appreciate that. And just kind of one of those things, because that stand your ground law has been surrounded with controversy and criticism, I hate that we call ordinary cases of self-defense or Castle Doctrine standard. You know, like it sort of throws everything into the controversy, and not everything is in the controversy. Anyway, it's just, you know, my nerd moment. I knew you'd appreciate that, and I wanted to bring it up with you. We talked a little bit about this with Sergeant Sturgeon last week while you were out at the conference, but I guess the replacement vehicle for the old plumber's van that SWAT uses to get on scene is on its way, the Bearcat. But you guys have some other infrastructure things you're working on, including securing that back lot to have better fencing, right?
Yeah, that construction's going on now. You know, Mayor Reeves came down. He looked at the police department, the equipment. He listened to the command staff on what we needed, and he hit the ground running and got to work. And these things are happening quickly. We're incredibly glad to see this happening. That back lot has been unsecure for as long as I've been there, which has been 1994. It's something that's been needed. You know, we've had people in the back lot that have tried to get into our secure impound area. We've had an individual set one of our cruisers on fire. So it's been a long time coming, and that construction is underway now, and we're glad to see it.
Very good. Anything? We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. You got one for me this week?
Yeah, I was to ask if the mug books, you know, the ones that are about 2 feet thick that you see on TV shows that people have to sit through for hours and hours and hours to try to find a suspect.
Yeah, the family photo albums of other people's families, right?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. I was asking if those are real, if we really use those. And the answer is yes and no. Back in the day, those did exist, but not so much anymore. It's all digital. Usually, you know, in this day and time, we have video, we have photos, we have a lot more to go on. If a person just does not know and kind of can describe the individual, then we can pull up digitally. You know, you can't pull up a suspect of that they believe is one race and then put five others on the page with them of a different race. You have to be fair about it. It has to be, you know, all the same race, the same age, the same, you know, facial hair, that sort of thing, and let them pick that individual out. But to answer the question, we do still have that sort of thing, but it's in a digital format.
Can I ask you a question about that? Because you bring up what to me is kind of interesting, okay? You know, sociological research clearly tells you what common sense we already knew, which is that typically white people have a harder time differentiating black faces from white faces or Asian faces from white. You know, it's like you know your kind of people, so to speak, and it's harder for you to differentiate other kinds of people that you haven't had to differentiate for your whole life. And I often wonder, and that's like the idea of identifying somebody who victimized you. Being a victim of anything is a high stress moment. It's, you know, you got all your body doing all kinds of weird things. You know, you don't pay attention to the right stuff. It seems to me like the victim of a crime has got to often have a very hard time identifying the suspect, even if it's somebody of, let's say, the same race as them, but an even harder time if it's somebody of a different race, because their certainty level would have to be pretty low. Am I thinking about this the right way? Is that a real problem that you run into?
It can be, but you know, after time goes by, a lot of times that comes back, that image comes back, that mental image, and they're able to come in and do a better job. But they're going to describe as best they can, and then that's when the detectives will get similar photos and show the individual and let them look through that and see what happens after that. But a lot of times, initially, after a crime happens, it's very difficult for that individual to recall. But, you know, maybe a month later, memory starts to come back, and we can have some success at that.
Yeah, I just remember when I went through the Citizens Police Academy that, you know, I was one of the, God, I forget, I was like a bank teller or something like that, and they had some people come in and rob us, right, to simulate a robbery. And that wasn't even a real incident. That was just a simulated incident. And it was over so quickly that I remember that, you know, well, what did you notice as identifying marks? Did you notice any tattoos? What kind of height? What kind of hair? That kind of stuff. And I'm like, I have no idea. Like, I just don't. It was all a blur, you know. And so I'm always amazed that people in real situations can identify And especially when they can identify facing the challenge of identifying somebody that's outside their racial group, typically. That's what I was thinking about. So that's what it made me think about. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Sir, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for keeping us informed and always being so quick with great information. I appreciate that.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. 548 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You know, when we went to Frontier several years ago and bought what we wound up buying was our Honda Odyssey, it was a new kind of used car dealership experience for me, because most of the used car dealerships that I'd ever seen were the kind where it's like, you know, these cars are 7 or 8 or 10 or 15 or more years old, you know, and they're just kind of barely limping along through life, and you spend a little bit in order to get them. Frontier's not like that. Frontier is the other end. It's not even used. It's like the almost new cars is what they sell. And the one we got, this 1-year-old Honda Odyssey, was on a lease out in Orlando. They brought it back to the dealership after the 1 year was up. They couldn't sell it for reasons I cannot explain. And then Frontier went to an auction down in Orlando and picked it up and brought it back here, and we got a smoking deal on an almost brand new car. And we've been driving it and happy about it ever since. And that's what they specialize in, cars that are almost new. Like, the only thing you're really missing is a couple thousand miles and maybe that new car smell. Like, that's it. Otherwise, you save money and you get a long-lasting, great quality car. So if that's what you're interested in, now you kind of understand why Frontier is recommended by Dave Ramsey, by me, by hundreds, even thousands of license plate frames and bumper stickers that you see driving around you all the time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that is Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry. Gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. They're on Creighton Road, right across from Tom Thumb. Emerald Coast Coins.
Hi, this is Earl Ron, president of New South Window. If you need new windows or doors for your home, heads up, this message is for you. New South is having a one-day factory sale this Saturday only in our factory showroom. 40% off high-performance award-winning windows, 40% off energy-efficient windows and patio doors, 40% off our factory direct products installed. Bring in your measurements for on-the-spot pricing or call today. One day only, this Saturday from 9 till 4. Please visit us at newsouthwindow.com.
This Saturday only, save an additional 5% when you arrive before noon.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's the Neil Young tribute band Rust and Gold.
Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you.
They'll be bringing the Neil Young experience to Bands on the Beach this Tuesday at 7, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. And remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Fox News Guy Benson gives you the news and brings you the newsmakers every day at 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, it's 7:05 in the a.m. and it's a 43 degrees on the old Camp North Star weather dial, and that is kind of nippy for a June 25, isn't it?
Asteroids are set to pass close to Earth this week. Tomorrow, two of the space rocks, one the size of a bus and the other the size of a planet, will fly within around 2.5 million and 3.5 million miles, respectively. That's according to NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Two other airplane-sized asteroids are expected to whiz past the planet on Sunday, but NASA says none of them pose a threat to us. Otherwise, this story would be way at the very top of the show. Not at this one, we're chatting about it.
happy Friday. No big deal. Actually, I think this is from a Thursday newscast, so it might already have been passed. I always think of it in moon distances. Okay, so if you've got two sizable objects passing close to us, close is relative in astronomical terms, 2.5 million miles is 10 moons away because the moon is 250,000 miles. So 10 moons away is not even remotely close. Like, that's
true.
Long, long way away. And 3.5 million would be 14 moons away, I think, if I did my math right there. And the other ones, stuff whizzes past all the time. No big deal. Don't worry about it. You're fine. And if you're not, it'll be over quickly. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3. Steve Taylor is in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
Oh, well, it's a Friday morning, which is something we're all happy about, but that's not really news. But this is about 2 in 3 Democratic voters say they'd rather see a different nominee than President Biden. That's according to a new CNN poll that says 67% of left-leaning voters would like the party to nominate somebody other than Biden. That's up from 54% who said the same thing in March. While some listed a specific alternative they'd like to see rather than Biden, 82% said they'd prefer anyone other than the current president. And Hurricane Lee's now a category 5.
Give me warm body, please.
Yes.
That's nice.
You know, that's a poll question they never do ask, right? How does warm body do against Trump or DeSantis or Biden? You know?
Interesting question.
Saying, yeah.
Let's do a survey. The National Hurricane Center says rip currents and hazardous surf is going to spread across the northern Caribbean today and begin affecting the U.S. mainland by Sunday because Hurricane Lee is now a Category 5 storm. It's been in the Atlantic Ocean packing maximum sustained winds about 165 miles an hour and it's expected to remain powerful well into next week.
How fast does it have to go to get to be a Category 6?
They don't have a Category 6, but they may have to come up with one.
You know how you occasionally... I think this might be our frivolous topic for Monday. My wife suggested this one. She says, tell me you're not from here without telling me you're not from here. And that would be one. Like, if somebody asks, hey, when is it a Category 6? That'd be good. Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, it looks like Wendy's is getting into the pumpkin spice game this fall. The hamburger chains announced that a new pumpkin spice frosty flavor will be available beginning next Tuesday. Company says the frozen treat introduces hints of pumpkin flavor and spices like cinnamon and nutmeg to the familiar and creamy frosty texture. A pumpkin spice frosty cold brew coffee drink will also be available starting next week. Pretty soon, we'll have pumpkin flavored spaghetti, pumpkin flavored pizza, pumpkin flavored everything.
Yeah, pumpkin spice hasn't aged as well as Jerry Halliwell and the rest of the girls, but you know.
Nice.
Thank you.
Those are your headlines.
I don't understand why somebody would go to Wendy's where you have the opportunity to have the most classic, second most classicest shake that there ever has been. Jamocha shake obviously being number one from Arby's. But the Frosty, just stop fiddling with perfection. That's it. It's simple. I don't know why, but you know, people do their thing. Fine. Steve, thanks so much for the update. 5:56 here on News Radio 92.3. If you are in the market for a realtor, you're thinking about buying or selling a home, and literally, I say that all the time, but thinking about it, like you haven't decided and you want to ask somebody if it makes sense and what are the parameters and what's the market doing in your area or in your price tier or whatever, ask. You know, Christina Leavenworth loves to take questions. She loves to talk with people. She loves to meet people. And also, I know I focus a lot on her because she sold 230 homes. That's a lot last year. But she has a whole team. And I say it every time, and her team at Leavenworth Realty. And it's true. She has a great team. I was reading some of the reviews on the Leavenworth Realty website. And here's one from Kelly writes, Dylan Smith with the Leavenworth team is by far the greatest realtor I've ever had. He not only helped me get my home, but helped me understand the whole process of becoming a homeowner along the way. Every time I called him, he was available to me, and if he was busy, he would let me know immediately that he'd get back to me as soon as possible, and did just that. I really don't know when this man even gets to sleep, since he seems to be so dedicated to his work. Dylan treated me like I was his own family while helping me find my forever home, and I truly couldn't be more grateful. If you want a realtor with excellent care and communication skills, Dylan is your guy. And the reason I mention that is because in focusing so much on Christina, you know, I think we kind of neglect a little bit to talk about how great the team that she's surrounded herself with, found people who are like-minded, like-hearted with her, and that she can mentor and train to do kind of the stuff that she does, and they do a fantastic job. So, genuinely, buying or selling or just thinking about it with your home, 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. 758 here on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Kind of an interesting note, the kind of thing that I don't know if it's going to work long term, but I really hope it does. You know, newspapers have been shriveling up and dying. There's no other way to describe it. For years now, we are down so many newspapers, and even in the ones that have survived, the level of local coverage has declined because it's expensive to pay for journalists. It just is. And, you know, advertising revenue being what it is, online alternate sources being what they are, competition, all that. But the MacArthur Foundation is leading a group of donors that have pledged $500 million to help the struggling local news industry, hoping to kind of plant seeds into local outlets that will make up for those that have closed between or been hollowed out over the last two decades. The number of newspapers in the U.S. fell from 8,800 in 2005 to 6,300 last year. That's about a 25% decline in the course of 18 years. Many that survive, even in larger markets, are just shells, right? They, you know, you might have had 40 people working there in the news service at one time, and now you've got five. The estimate of 75,000 journalists who worked in 2005. You want to take a stab at this, Candy? We were at 75,000 journalists in newspapers in 2005. What are we now?
50?
31.
31,000?
31,000. It's down more than half.
Wow. Yeah.
It's bad. So yeah. I hope this works, but the question is long-term sustainability, right?